In this month's episode of the History Explorer podcast, we'll be talking with Shannon Parrish, a curator who specializes in the history of photography here at the Museum of American History. Shannon will be discussing portraiture and how historians, curators, and researchers can look at a photographic portrait and study it for historical context.
I'm Shannon Parrish. I am a curator in the Photographic History Collection at the National Museum of American History. We're the first collection of photography in a U.S. museum, and we actually collect for the history of photography. So fine art is one aspect of what we collect, but we also collect amateur work and experimental work. We collect for the way that Americans and the world has used and thought about photography. So that includes amateur photography, scientific photography, and photojournalism. By having a large collection that is not strictly fine art, we are able to put images into a broader context. We have three images in front of us today. We have a man with a reunion ribbon from the 1870s. We have William Casby, a man born into slavery by Richard Avedon. And we have Dorothea Lange's very famous photograph from 1936, known as Migrant Mother. Each of these images tells us something different about history. And some of that has to do with composition, and some of that has to do with looking beyond the frame of the photograph. The man with the ribbon, if you look at it, it says that there's a reunion. And it has a date at the bottom of 1874. He's a war veteran. And a group of these veterans had come to Houston during this time period to see each other again and to remember this particular event. They've gone to the Barr & Wright Photography Studio that's on Main Street in Houston, and they've all sat for these two photographers. This man is making an odd gesture. One might suggest that his hand is simply lying in his lap and he's holding the lapel of his jacket. However, it does seem a little odd. And one historian has suggested that it's a secret society gesture. When this photograph was made, Houston and all of Texas was just coming back into the Union. They were coming out of martial law after their experience of trying to pull away from the Union in the Civil War. And there was a lot of contestation about who was living in Texas. There was a lot of conflict between the whites and the Mexicans, Mexican Americans, and there was conflict with the African Americans. Houston, in fact, was almost a half African American, half white city during this time period. By looking at what the cultural and political and racial environment was during this time period, it helps us inform what helps us understand the kinds of concerns this man might have. The photograph by Richard Avedon of William Casby is an interesting image. We typically think of portraiture as about flattery. This is a very difficult image to look at. It's an old man. He is not particularly attractive in a conventional sense. And the way that the photographer has framed this image, there's no information in the background. It's completely white in the background. He has cropped the image very tightly, so the entire picture frame is filled with Mr. Casby's face. And he's looking directly at you. You have no choice but to look back at him. When you look at him, you have to answer this question of slavery. You have to explain to him, why did slavery exist? Why has he had to endure the kinds of experiences that he has had to live his entire life? Richard Avedon once said that all photographs reflect who he is. And actually, if you look into Mr. Casby's eyes, you can see the photographer. Knowing that the title of this photograph is William Casby, Born into Slavery, and knowing that the photograph was made in the late 1950s at the emergence of the American Civil Rights Movement, you have to wonder how these two political movements come together in this particular photograph. This photograph appeared in a book called Observations by Richard Avedon. And in that book, he very directly, with his friend James Baldwin, speak directly about civil rights and what that experience is like and the anger that emerges and lies under the surface for many people. And so this photograph begs the question and asks you to explain slavery and civil rights and the feeling towards many Black Americans at this time period. If you look on the right-hand side, his ear, in fact, is shaped somewhat like a question mark. In 1936, Dorothea Lange one of the few women photographers for the Federal Farm Security Administration's program that documented many of the victims of the Depression and depicted what sharecroppers and migrant farmers were experiencing during the Dust Bowl era. Dorothea Lange was coming back from a long trip. She'd been out in the field making photographs of farm workers in California. She was on her way home. She had lots of film that had been previously exposed. She drove by a sign that said pea pickers, and she kept on driving. It was a cold February evening. After about 20 miles, she turned around and went back. She just couldn't let an opportunity pass her by. And when she got out of the car, she saw this mother sitting under a tent with several children around her. She got out, she made several photographs. She got back in her car, made a few notes, and then drove back home. When she developed the film, she saw that if she cropped a particular image, it was an extraordinarily strong image. She sent it to the newspaper, which printed it immediately, and $200,000 were sent to the pea pickers camp in Napomo, California. This famous image is called Migrant Mother, and it still is it is still an iconic image today, some 75 years later. Why is this image so iconic? What is it about it that continues to draw us to it? Portraiture tends to be about the individual and about specificity. In this image, Dorothea Lange has completely suppressed individuality and, in fact, didn't even record the woman's name in order to have her represent many other women. Among the reasons that this continues to be an iconic image is that we hold the role of the mother in American society as central to the home. She's central to children and the raising of children. In this particular photograph, the children have completely tethered her. She is immobile. She is not able to get up from her seat and to be able to go and make a living for herself. This creates a mood of sympathy. We don't judge her for being poor. We don't judge her for being unemployed. There's an interesting compositional element to this photograph. If you look along the right-hand side, you can just barely discern that there is the edge of the tent pole. This visual device gives us, as viewers, a space. We don't have to enter that picture plane, so we don't actually have to engage directly with this woman who's destitute, who's struggling, who clearly is not pleased to be in this situation. It allows us to have an emotional distance.
All three of these images are extremely interesting, not just in their appearance, but also in the story that you've told from each of them. As a curator, when you look at a photograph, how do you go about drawing information from them? What sort of things do you look for that can tell you about what's going on, not just in the photograph, but also the historical period?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we look at is the technology. That technology will help us understand what the capabilities of the photographer were and what they weren't. So if it is an unusual process or an expensive process, it helps us understand the rarity of the experience. Is it a common experience? Is it a rare experience? If it's a rare experience, is it because it's not available to many people or because it was expensive and you had to save your money to participate in that? So we begin to shape understanding how this particular image fits into an economic relationship. That technology also tells us something about what can and cannot be captured in the image. For example, if it's a slow process, a smile might not be captured. It may not mean that that person is unhappy. It just may mean that that person has to sit still and that a smile is actually very hard to sustain for several seconds. We look at the time period. We look at what was happening in the world at that time. We look at the physical object itself. What are the materials? For instance, in a daguerreotype, they are very precious materials. There's a velvet pad, there's brass framing, so it makes it a precious object. We also look at the history of the photographer. Is it a studio? Is he a photojournalist? Is she a freelancer? Is she an art photographer? And this helps us understand where the images are coming from. We also look at who is the user, who acquired the image, and how was the image used. Was it produced for the individual? Was it produced for a third party that might use the image in a newspaper article? So we begin to look at all these different angles and aspects to bring it together. Mm-hmm. And we also look at the sitter. In terms of portraiture, is the sitter the one who acquired the photograph? Did they intend to keep it for themselves, or did they keep it for someone else?
If a student was looking to perhaps write a research paper or just conduct some research and wanted to start with a photograph that they had, what sort of advice would you give to them?
Can you identify the sitter? Can you identify the maker? Do you know who owned the photograph? What is the process? Can you determine when the photograph was made? Look at the content of the photograph. What is the photograph about? What is the emotional response that you have to the photograph? Do you like it? Don't you like it? Why is that you like it or you don't like it? What makes you uncomfortable? What makes you comfortable? What's familiar to you and what isn't familiar to you? Those are some good basic questions. And of course, the date. Look at the date and look at where the photograph was made.
What happens if there's no date? Is there any way of, I mean, you mentioned the technology, you mentioned, I mean, I'm assuming like clothing and styles and things as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, Matt. The if you look at the clothing style, the hairstyles, what kinds of information is in the background that might help you determine what the date is? Mm-hmm. If there's a television in the background, you know right. It's not from the first part of the 1900s. There are lots of little bits and pieces that you can take apart that give you hints to the date of the photograph and how the photograph was made. And actually look at the condition of the photograph. Mm-hmm. If it's curved, perhaps it was in somebody's wallet and he sat on it for many years. If it's got glue on the back or it's sticky on the back, then perhaps it came out of an album. And those kinds of conditions can also help you understand how the photograph was used.
Right. The photograph tells a lot more than just the person sitting in front of the camera.
That's right.
Now, I'm just curious, the war veteran that's making the hand gesture, what does the hand gesture mean?
We're not exactly sure. I contacted, well, I'll tell you the story about the Barr and Wrights. We have this huge collection of glass plate negatives, and they were made by the Barr and Wright Studio in Houston, and they were in existence the entire decade of the 1870s. They are not a well-known studio. They are not famous by any means. And what they really represent is the average workaday photographer who was making carte de visites for the everyday citizen. And to actually go and have your photograph made by Barr and Wright was in a way to participate in popular culture. The carte de visites were collected and shared just like you might share your school pictures, and they were put into albums. So you might have family members mixed in with pictures of Abraham Lincoln and your favorite Civil War generals and your favorite singer all mixed together. When I began researching the Barr and Wright collection, because they're not a well-known photo studio, I had to start doing some internet searches, and it turns out that there is a large collection of Texas photographs that were donated by Lawrence Jones at the DeGolyer Library in Houston, and they have a lot of Barr and Wright material. And so wondering what is going on in this particular image, I sent it to them asking, can you tell me? And he was the one who told me that it was probably a secret society's mm-hmm. gesture.
I guess a lot of photographs that people study are going to have little clues in them, but not all of them are going to have some sort of secret society, mysterious
But what it speaks to is that, you know, a single photograph cannot capture who we are, and that there's a complexity behind all of these photographs that you might find... You just don't know who individuals are. It also speaks to how we project ourselves in front of a camera. How do we want to be recorded? We want to be recorded beautiful. We want to be recorded attractively. We want to be recorded associated with particular associations. So you might wear a lapel pin, or you might make a secret gesture. You might wear something particular in your hair because you belong to the Azalea Club.
Mm-hmm. And then, so a student sits down for a yearbook photo in 150 years, and some researcher is looking at this. they can see what things are important to the student in 2011 right there.
That's right.
Right. Great. Thank you, Shannon.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Shannon Parrott for the insightful interview. The next time you look at someone's portrait, try looking beyond the simple photograph and pick up on some of these contextual elements. For the History Explorer podcast, this is Matt Ringelstetter. Join us again next month as we take another look behind the scenes here at the National Museum of American History. Podcast made possible by a grant from the Verizon Foundation.